Well, what would life be like if Christ had not risen from the dead? And that is the title of our message this evening. If you turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And here in this wonderful chapter, the Apostle Paul deals with that very question. If Christ is not risen, what would we be? Where would we be? 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Please follow along with me as I read verses 1 down to verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Why don't we read verse 20 aloud together, shall we? On to 1, 2. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the quickening power of the Word of God. And Lord, even as we've read these verses, Lord, your Word has already given us so much encouragement. Lord, so much hope and so much strength because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are not of all men most miserable because he is risen. And Father, we pray that we would draw closer to you tonight. And Father, we pray that, Lord, you would minister to us in a special way. Lord, as we humble our hearts before you and admit that so often we neglect our dear Saviour, Lord, help us to glorify our Lord Jesus by making him more precious in our hearts, by loving him more and drawing nigh to you through your word this evening. Lord, may your Holy Spirit minister to us through your word this evening. May he have liberty as we, Lord, open up our hearts to you tonight. Lord, bless this time in your word, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul addresses this question, what would be if Christ is not risen? What would be the consequences if he never rose from the dead? Now, let me say that many people in the world today would be glad if Christianity did not exist. Many people try to blame Christianity for all the troubles in the world. Many people would say, well, I wish there were no religions, and that includes Christianity. I wish that people would just admit that he never rose from the dead, and that this kind of faith is foolishness. Many people would like to believe that. But for the Christian this evening, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. And that's why Paul was writing to these Corinthians. You see, in verse number 12, notice there with me, the Apostle Paul said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now you see, we need to be careful. Because as Paul continuously warned, that there would be false teachers in the church that would creep in unawares. Unawares, that means we will not notice them. And there were some in this church that were saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. Now, we remember famously the duel between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, don't we, during the Lord's time. And how suddenly the Pharisees, in a sadistic way, liked what the Lord was saying, because they didn't like the Sadducees, and the Sadducees did not believe that there is an afterlife, that there is a resurrection from the dead. And there were some in the church in Corinth that were false teachers promoting this false doctrine that there is no resurrection from the dead. And therefore Christ did not rise again. So Paul very carefully and explicitly wrote this letter and in this chapter to encourage them and challenge them. There in verse number 2, notice what he says, chapter 15, verse 2, he said, I want you to keep this in memory. I want you to remember how you were saved. I want you to remember what you believed and continue to hold fast to your faith, lest you be tossed to and fro by the wind of false doctrine and be shipwrecked as a Christian. And he challenged them to hold fast to the faith by using a very interesting question, which is this: what if Christ had not risen from the dead? And he challenges the believers, look, if you're going to lay aside the doctrine of the resurrection, you are in big trouble. You are in big trouble. And likewise for us. Friends, the resurrection is under attack today. Most of the world don't really care that a man called Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on a cross. They're more than happy to accept that as part of history, if you will. But what they reject outright is the fact that he rose again from the dead. Isn't that true? Why? Because his resurrection changes everything. Everything. And that's what the Lord wants to show us here in his word today. You know, the Bible tells us, if Christ be not risen, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And we ought to be miserable if Christ is not risen. But the flip side is, if he is risen, then we shouldn't be miserable. Amen? Now, I'm not assuming that anyone in this room tonight will cast off the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ. So you might say, well, Pastor, how does this apply to me? Well, take this thought and run with it. If Christ is risen, then why are you miserable? Amen? Maybe it's because you forgot of the wonderful benefits and blessings that have flowed out from the grace of his resurrection. And let me encourage you tonight. Tonight's a night of encouragement. I'm glad you're here. This is a letter written to the Christian. This is a letter written to Christians that were witnessing, that were facing spiritual battles, that were facing battles within the church. And they needed to simply rejoice in the truth of Christ's resurrection. So what do we see in Paul's letter to the Corinthians here in these verses? Well, first of all, if Christ did not rise from the dead, there would be no salvation. There would be no salvation. Notice verses 1 to 4, Paul proclaims very clearly what the gospel is and how they were saved. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now, this was nothing new to them. Why? Because he said, this is what I preached to you when I came. The Apostle Paul was the one who planted this church. He said, I'm preaching unto you the gospel, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Notice verse number 2, by which also you are saved. This is how these believers were saved. What did Paul say? Well, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, verse 3. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, the gospel was the foundation of this church here in Corinth. These were ones that were lost in their sins. Along came the Apostle Paul. He preached the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. They repented. They put their faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, and instantaneously they were born again. Instantaneously they were saved. Instantaneously they had everlasting life. And the gospel is the foundation of salvation. There can be no salvation without the gospel. Amen. And the gospel is not just Christ's death on the cross, His atonement through His precious blood, but it also includes His burial and His resurrection. Amen? Amen. The whole gospel includes His death, burial and resurrection. So if you take out the resurrection, the gospel is dead. There is no salvation. There is no forgiveness. There is no hope. But you see, the Apostle Paul very simply and plainly said to them, because Christ is risen from the dead, there is the hope of salvation. But if Christ be not risen, then there would be no salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is everything. If you take that away, there is no salvation. How can you believe in someone that has the power to save if He is not alive? If He's still in the grave? If He is buried and decomposing in the tomb? How can someone like that save someone's eternal soul? Well, it cannot. You see, if you take away the resurrection, you take away any hope of salvation. That's why the Apostle Paul declared to the Corinthians, if Christ be not raised, ye are yet in your sins. Brethren, do you realize if Jesus Christ did not rise again, there would be no payment for the sins of mankind? There would be no forgiveness available. There would be just judgment that we deserve. There would be just justice that was due for our sins. There would be no hope. There would be no forgiveness. Salvation would be a lie. And by the way, if Christ be not raised, then Jesus Christ Himself is a liar. Because He Himself said, destroy this temple and in 3 days will I raise it up. And the religious Jews were mocked Him and said, what blasphemy! This temple, the Lord wasn't talking about Herod's temple. He was talking about the temple of His own body. And time again He declared He will rise again from the dead, even though some didn't believe it and His apostles didn't understand it. But the reality is, if Christ be not risen, Jesus Christ is a liar. Is a liar. There would be no salvation. But you see, the Apostle Paul knew, as he wrote in Romans chapter 1, that the proof that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, is in the pudding. Amen? The proof is in the pudding. And what is that? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He rose again from the dead. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And brethren, we ought to rejoice this evening that because He is risen, salvation is available for all. Because He is risen, those of us who have personally received Him as Savior, we are no longer dead in our sins and trespasses. Amen. We are no longer alienated from God. We are no longer outcasts. We are no longer in darkness anymore. No, we are now children of the kingdom of His dear Son. We have now been adopted and brought into the precious family of God. Let me ask you this evening before we go on. Are you still yet dead in your sins? Has there been a time that you believed the gospel? And that means you understood that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Has there been a time that you realized that God is so holy that to say that we can be justified or made right in the eyes of God by our own good works indeed is a greater sin than sin itself. It's an offence to God to say that I can be good enough to get to heaven. Why? Because if we would see our sins in God's eyes, we would realise how corrupt and filthy and unrighteous we really are. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So has there been a time that you laid aside that idea that you're good enough to go to heaven, and then brokenheartedly you realised in sorrow that you have sinned against God, and that He loved you so much that He died on the cross, and He rose again from the dead, and He wants to save you once and for all? Has there been a time that you called upon His name for salvation, for forgiveness, through His precious gift of eternal life, through His blood? Has there been that time? You see, you and I cannot take ourselves from the kingdom of darkness and put ourselves into His kingdom. Only He can do that. The Bible uses a special word. It's called translated. It's a wonderful word. It means to carry over. It means to be transported supernaturally. You see, we are all born sinners. We are all born with a sin nature. We are sinners by nature and by choice. We are dead in our sins and trespasses. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is no way that we can have any hope outside of the blessed resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once we put our faith in Him and believe in all our heart and call upon His name, He takes us from the place of darkness and places us into Jesus Christ. And we are now children of the living God. Friend, has that happened to you? Is there a time that you can remember that you repented and you received Christ as Savior? Now, if you're not sure, let me encourage you to speak to someone after the service. Don't leave this place without finding out how you can know for sure that you are not yet dead in your sins, but Christ is your Savior, and you have the wonderful joy of eternal life. Now, Christian, if you are a believer here tonight, let me encourage you that His resurrection means that our salvation is secure. Our salvation is sure. If He lives forevermore, then so will we. Amen? And that's the simple truth that Paul was saying. If He's not risen, you're dead in your sins. Yet dead in your sins. But now, verse 20, is Christ risen from the dead? That means you are not dead in your sins anymore. You are not bound by the power of sin. We can live in victory over sin as Christians. Amen? Why? Because He won the victory. And we can reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can live a life of liberty. Liberty in the Spirit of God. Living for the Lord. Why? Because we love Him. We can be free from the chains of death and hell and sin. Why? Because He is risen from the dead. He broke those bars. Amen? He tore the bars away. His resurrection ought to cause us to rejoice tonight. Because He's risen, salvation is available for all. And if you're saved this evening, I trust you are not of all men most miserable. Amen? If you are, well then let me encourage you to rejoice in the Word of God this evening. We have a risen Savior. Why should I be happy, Pastor? You don't know my problems. Well, I don't. But He is risen. Amen. Those three words ought to revive your heart. He is risen. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. That's what we sing. And that is certainly true. Well, if Christ did not rise, there would be no salvation. Secondly, if Christ did not rise, there would be no eternal life. There would be no eternal life. Not only forgiveness of sin would be absent from eternity, but there would be no everlasting life. Notice verse number 18. What does Paul say to this church? It says in verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are, what's the next word? Perished. Paul says this is a disaster. Look, if Christ is not risen, those who have believed in Him and died, they are lost. They are doomed. They are gone. They are perished. They have no everlasting life. They have never seen Jesus Christ if he is not risen. They are not rejoicing in his wondrous glory right now. No, they are in the place of eternal judgment. Well, what is that place? Notice Matthew chapter 25. What does the Bible say? Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. The Bible speaks of this place of perishing. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, there would be only one outcome for those who die. If there was no resurrection, there would only be judgment. God will pour out his wrath in his fullest extent, in his perfect justice, and that justice would mean you and I receiving what we deserve, and that is eternal separation from God. Where? In a place that the Bible calls everlasting fire. You see, we are eternal beings. The word perish doesn't mean extinguished. No soul is ever extinguished. There's no such thing in the Bible. We will all live forever somewhere one day. But you see, if Christ is not risen, then there is no other place. There is no other hope. Why? Because there is no salvation. Therefore, there is no everlasting life. Can you see what Paul is saying? Those who have died before us and believed in Christ, so called, and his resurrection, if he's not risen, then they're perished. Then they're gone. That will be the consequence. Having fixed all their hopes on Christ, they would have no hope of eternity. But you see, what Paul is doing, isn't he? He's using a contrast of opposites. He's saying, think about this. If he's not risen, we have no hope. Not only now, but in the eternity to come. There is no hope. There is nothing to look forward to. In fact, there is everything to fear and to dread and to be horrified by. And our loved ones that have gone before us are perished. But you see, verse 20 once again is what we come back to. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, Paul explains that Christ was the first fruits. What does that mean? Well, he was the first. He was the first to have died, to be buried, and to rise again from the dead. Does that make sense? He was the first to be risen. He was the first to be resurrected as God in the flesh. He proved what he did on the cross was true, was finalized, was completed. He was raised again for our justification, the Bible says. And so because he was the first fruits, the Bible tells us that those who die as believers also will be raised to die no more. Amen. Those who die in Jesus Christ are not perished, but they are risen to die no more. He is the first fruits of them that slept. Because he is risen, the believer has everlasting life. And friends, this isn't only a promise to the Christians that have already died, but it is a promise that God will raise up every believer. God will give the eternal life, the gift of eternal life to every believer, and it will be fulfilled when we see Christ again. The resurrection of the believer. The wonderful eternity that waits ahead for the Christian. See, if Christ be not risen, and your faith is in vain, you are yet dead in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Notice John chapter number 10. What the Lord Jesus said. John chapter number 10, verses 27 to 28. Thank you for turning there. John chapter number 10. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, what's the next word?
Perish.
You see, this promise would be absolutely foolish if he is not risen. It would be a past promise. It would be a promise for only those who followed him, like the disciples. when he was alive? If he's not risen, how can you and I follow him today? But because he is risen, and if we've received him as our Savior, believing in his death, burial and resurrection, as we follow him, we have that assurance of eternal life. We know that everyone who calls upon his name will never perish. Notice what the Lord said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, if because Christ is risen from the dead, there is no judgment for the believer. There is no judgment for sin. There is no eternal damnation. There is no fear of death and hell and perishing. No, there is the wonderful hope of eternal life. Can you see how important the resurrection of Christ is? He is the first fruits because he is risen. Because he is risen, we follow him into eternity. And the greatest blessing that the Christian can have is that assurance of our rising up after him. Amen. And by the way, he's coming for us. Amen. Whether it's in this life, when we die and breathe our last breath, he's coming for us. He will take us to be with him. If we walk through the veil, the valley of the shadow of death, he will come for us to take us to be with him. And then when he comes again, if we are alive and remain, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Just listen as I read. The Lord said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. You see, because he is risen, he has the keys of hell and death. Because he is risen, he is alive to save. And the moment someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, Christ, if you will, turns that key. He turns that key and the door is open to everlasting life. In fact, didn't the Lord say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And what a wonderful joy that is, that Christ is risen from the dead. And because he is risen, not only can we know the forgiveness of sins in this life, but we know for sure that we have everlasting life right now, today, as believers. Amen? Why? Because he is risen. Let me ask you this evening, if you died today, are you 100% sure that you have eternal life? If you're not sure, you've never trusted in the risen Christ. You've never put your faith in him completely for your salvation. But if you have, friend, you ought to have wonderful hope. You ought not to be of all men most miserable. Friends, because Christ is risen, can you see already this evening that we have received the greatest gift that the world will ever know, the gift of salvation. Because he is risen, we have the greatest hope that anyone will ever know. The hope of eternal life. And we shall never perish. We shall never perish. What a wonderful joy. That because Christ is alive and he is risen from the dead, even when we sin again as Christians, we cannot lose our salvation. Because he is risen. Because he is alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. Well, thirdly, if Christ did not rise, there would be no point in being a Christian. Look, if Christ is not risen, we may as well pack up and go home. In fact, we may as well not pack up, because who cares about our testimony anyway, and just leave the building and forget about it all. Why are we here? Now, that's what, in some ways, the Apostle Paul said, in a much better way, in the book of Corinthians. Notice, the Apostle Paul said, if Christ did not rise, there would be no point in serving God. There wouldn't be no point in being a Christian. Notice verses in 1 Corinthians, back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Notice verse number 14. He says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Paul said, look, if he's not alive, if he's not a risen Saviour, then I've wasted my time. My preaching is vain. The word vain means to be useless. It means to be a waste, empty. Their message The message of the gospel, which the Bible says is the power of God unto salvation, would have no power at all. It might have the power to deceive for a little while, but just like every other lie, those who fall into a lie ultimately find out that it's not true. As I grew up in the Catholic Church, I believed what they were teaching me. And as I went along with it, sooner or later, I realized that something is missing. I went to the altar for communion. I didn't feel more forgiven. I went to the priest for confession. I felt worse afterwards. He prayed for me. I did my penance. I prayed to Mary 10 times. I had my little rosary beads. And guess what? My heart felt more empty and convicted. How many of you can relate to that? Absolutely. Why? Because there was some lies being told. That if you just follow these religious works, then that is what will help you to get through the gates of heaven. The Catholic Church teaches this very plainly. They said Christ died on the cross. Yes, he rose again from the dead. And by doing so, he opened the gates of heaven. But it's up to you to make your way in. If you don't do good works and participate in the sacraments of the church, then you cannot get in through those gates. It's impossible. You've got to do good works. You've got to follow the sacraments of the church. And if you don't regularly take part in Mass, well, you may not only end up missing out on purgatory, but you could be cast into everlasting fire for not taking the bread and the wine, which they claim is Christ's body and blood, literally. You see, there were some lies being told. And sooner or later, you realize there's something missing here. There's something missing. And you see, that's what would have happened to biblical Christianity if it was a lie. It would be powerless to save. It would be powerless to change lives for all eternity. And Paul was saying, look, for you as Christians, understand, if Christ be not raised, our preaching is in vain. Preaching is a waste of time. Preaching is pointless. There's no power for Christ to change you tonight if he's not risen. There's no power for Christ to give you joy tonight through his resurrection reality. There would be no point in being a Christian. And then Christianity would have disappeared into obscurity as a hoax, would quickly have vanished. But verse 20, thank the Lord, is in the Bible, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Now here's the encouragement for you and I as Christians. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that means being a Christian is not a waste of time. Amen? It's not a waste of time. You see, salvation is the greatest gift. Eternal life is the greatest hope. And being a Christian is the greatest privilege. Isn't that true? Being a Christian is the greatest purpose. Being a Christian is the greatest calling, is the greatest honor. Why? Because he is risen, we are following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no greater privilege on this side of eternity or the other side to come in being a Christian, a child of God. Why? Because we serve a risen Savior. Because Jesus Christ is alive, brethren, what we do here in this place is not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time at all. The Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who walks among his local churches, among the candlesticks. He dwells in the midst of his people, the Bible says. He is with us in his presence. And we know he is risen, therefore he is able to do the impossible. He is able to work in our lives. He is able to use us to be a witness. Why? Because it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. You know why we can be encouraged tonight? Regardless of how many visitors came on this Sunday. Because we know that everything we do is not in vain. Amen? Have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you read down through the chapter, notice as we come to the end, notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 58. As a conclusion to the chapter, what does he say? He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in, there's the word, isn't it? It's not in vain in the Lord. Now, there are many more things that the Apostle Paul wrote between these verses, but the reality is, because Christ is risen, our labor is not in vain.
Amen.
Everything we do for the Lord impacts someone for eternity. Not only because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Whether we see any instantaneous result or not, it doesn't matter. It still is the power of God. God is still working in that person's heart, regardless of how many came today, regardless of how many come next Sunday, regardless of who responds this week or not. It is still the power of God unto salvation. And at the end of the book of Mark, you remember, the Bible tells us that as the apostles and his witnesses went out, the Lord, the Bible says that they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Isn't that the most exciting thing for the Christian to know? That as I, as pathetic as I think I am, and half the time I forget the verses that I've memorized, and I don't know what to say when someone asks me a tricky question, thank the Lord. Amen. That we are not the power of God unto salvation. But the gospel is, and he is working with us. Amen. He is working with us. Amen. Sowing, watering, but God gives the increase. If he is not risen, we're alone. And we're wasting our time. In fact, we are of all men most miserable. But if we are a Christian this evening, then we are not miserable. We have the greatest privilege, which is to tell others about Jesus Christ, so that they can hear what we have believed, and they also can know the hope of eternal life. You know, so often we look back at our lives and we think, am I just wasting my time? You know, in this job, in this career, in this pursuit I'm chasing after, thank God, a Christian that is serving God will never have to wonder about that question. We'll never have to wonder whether we're wasting our time. Why? Because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we can grow further. And we can serve him more. And we can abound. Why? Because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that encouraging to us this evening? Because he is risen. Because he is risen, our labor is not in vain. And we have the confidence and the strength to press on against the world, against sin, and against the devil, because our labor is not in vain. Well, if Christ did not rise, there would be no point in being a Christian. Lastly, if Christ did not rise, he's not coming back. Isn't that true? If Christ did not rise, you and I have nothing to look forward to. He's not coming back. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Back in the book of 1 Corinthians, as we conclude, notice verse number 15. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 20, chapter 15, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. The Bible says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, this is not speaking about the present. This is speaking about the future. The Bible tells us that the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ came was as the Lamb of God, as the sinless Savior, the suffering Savior. That's why the Jews rejected him. They didn't want a suffering Savior. They wanted a conquering lion. But he is the Lamb of God in the book of the Revelation and the Lion of Judah. But he came as the lamb, as the sacrifice for sin. But the second time he comes, he is coming as the judge, the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah. He is coming as the ruler to rule and reign. Now, of course, if Christ did not rise again from the dead, he's not coming back. There is no future kingdom on this earth. There is no future heaven for the believer. There is no hope for the Christian. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice verses 51 to 52. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, these verses are in context with the verses we read, we heard this evening from 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, the catching up of God's people. The Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Friends, if he is not risen, he is not coming back. There is no catching up of the believer. There is no eternal life. Can you see, without the resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. But turn that around. If he is risen, then we are not miserable at all, of all. In fact, we are expecting his return at any moment. We are expecting him to meet, to descend from heaven with a shout and to lift us up from this earth before the judgment begins. And we will, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. That's where we will be. But you see, all that is based upon if we believe that Christ is risen. If we believe that Christ is risen, then we know that he's coming again. We know for a surety. We know that he is coming for us. You see, he will return, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who have trusted Christ the Savior, the Bible says, when he returns to earth, not in the clouds, his second coming is in two parts. He comes in the clouds and he comes to the earth 7 years later. But when he comes to the earth, those who have trusted Christ the Savior and have been taken off the earth will return with him. The Bible says that we will rule and reign with Christ in his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. You know, sometimes we forget. We think about salvation and then we think about heaven, the eternal state. But we forget about the 1,000 year reign of Christ, and that we will be here as his people for 1,000 years. Now, that's a long time. And that's something exciting to look forward to. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to God transforming this earth into the paradise that it was always meant to be. I'm looking forward to God bringing peace to the earth that mankind is so foolishly trying to accomplish today and making a mess of it. I'm so looking forward to Christ ruling in righteousness with a rod of iron. Amen. From the very throne of God in Jerusalem. What a wonderful day that will be. You see, we have something great to look forward to. But isn't it so discouraging when you've got nothing to look forward to? You know, maybe you put your hope in worldly things, and when you got that thing, you realize, man, this is empty. This is foolish. Some of you young people, maybe you say, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing that movie. You know, looking forward to seeing that movie. I can't wait till the next Star Wars movie comes out. That's all the buzz today. I can't wait till it comes out. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. And all these fans are showing their responses on their faces. How excited they are. All these Star Wars fans. And they're so looking forward to it, as if it's going to change their lives or something. As if it's going to help them some way, give them some sort of hope. But they are putting their hope in it. And when they watch it, oh, it's just a movie. They walk out of that cinema, and the same reality of life hits them, and they've just been in dreamland for a few hours, and that's all. Maybe you've experienced the leanness in your soul when you went after something and got it, and then realized, oh, it's not what it really was. Can I guarantee you as a Christian tonight that because he is risen, when Christ comes again, there will be no discouragement. There will be no emptiness. In fact, there will be joy unspeakable. You and I won't be able to put into words the thrill, the rapture, if you will, of the believer, and the everlasting joy that we will experience when Christ comes again. And the Lord wants us to know that joy now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we expect his return. We know he is risen, he is coming again, therefore we are and we ought to be of all men not most miserable. We have the greatest future to look forward to that mankind will ever know. The return of Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're discouraged in any way this evening, you're not alone. We all face the trials of life. But without those three simple words that he is risen, we ought to be miserable. But with them, everything changes. Because He is risen, there is salvation for all. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not sure about your salvation, I'd love to talk to you after the service. I'd love to show you in the Bible how you can be sure that Christ is your Saviour and receive the gift of eternal life. Because He is risen, there is salvation for all. That is the greatest gift. Because He is risen, there is eternal life for all. That is the greatest hope. Because He is risen, there is a great, wonderful joy and purpose in being a Christian. That's the greatest privilege. And because He is risen, we have the greatest future to look forward to, because He's coming again. Amen? Where would we be if Christ is not risen from the dead? Well, if the Lord has encouraged you tonight through His word, can I encourage you as we close to tell someone that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again from the dead? Church family, let me encourage you to be more outgoing in your witness. It's the gospel that we need to declare. As you hand out a tract or an invitation, let me encourage you to say, Christ died for your sins. Just tell them. Take that moment, that opportunity, and just tell them, I'd like you to give you this. Please have a read. It's an invitation to our church. But I just want to let you know that Christ died for your sins. He rose again from the dead so that you can be forgiven and have everlasting life. Let me encourage you to share the gospel. Let me encourage you to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been encouraged tonight, I trust you have. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that's left.